welcome all of our listeners today. I'm excited. So I have Lance Gruner on the phone with me today for our podcast, and I'm so excited. I've known Lance for so long in the industry, and it took us a long time to put this together. But Lance, thank you so much for joining us. And for those of you who don't know who Lance is, which I know is not a lot of people, but, you know, senior level executive. I remember your days at, you know, MasterCard, CCW, all things. You know, now as an advisor, right, you're specializing in what's passionate to me, which is customer experience. And by the way, I see your book, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You. I just want to say I'm so glad I'm not in that book. Okay. I know you don't hate me, which is great. But, you know, the one thing that we think about, you know, which they might not know about you, there's a couple things I know about you, but, you know, you're similar to me. And I think that's why we got along so well over the decades we've known each other. You built your career around customer experience. And I love what you taught me years ago when we used to meet, where you're fixing the issues behind the issues, which a lot of people don't do, because anybody can tell you what's wrong. Right. And it's fixing it. And these questions we have today, we're going to talk about, is really going to dig into that. And the one thing we talked about yesterday, which I had no idea with, which was, tell me this. You used to rescue skiers, because I'm from the East Coast. This Texas accent doesn't come through. I'm a huge skier. My knee's proven to that. You used to be in helicopters in the back countries of Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, what you said to me. Tell me a little bit before we kick off.
It's funny. It's a little known thing. I used to live in Colorado for many, many years, and I'm an avid skier. I don't ski very much anymore because, you know, knees do tend to give out. But I always had to find a reason to go skiing. And quite honestly, you know, when you're on the rescue team and ski patrol, you can kind of ski for free. So it was kind of incentive. But I took it even that one step further, that I was really passionate about helping skiers. And I joined a rescue team. It was the Mountain Rescue Association, Mountain Rescue Team. And there were times when avalanche, we had to get in the backcountry. And I'm one of those crazy people that have rappelled out of helicopters with packs on my back to go find, you know, some stupid people in the backcountry. And I've done that several times, many times, actually. I found I had an amazing team, and it was so much fun. But it was also you know, my way of helping, giving back.
Never knew that about you. First, how many times we talk together, just having conversations, I never would have picked that up about you.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just one of my, you know, my things that I've done and something I'm passionate about. And I just go do, and it's a lot of fun. And I still ski. Of course, you know, I don't do the, I live now in Nashville, so it's kind of hard to find a mountain to go. But I know if I was in Colorado, it would be so tempting to go do that again.
Well, the commitment I have this year is you are going to hit the craps table with me in 2026. I promise you that.
All right. Then we're going to go skiing.
Absolutely. I love skiing. All right. So listen, let's just dive in. So the first thing that people were talking about, and I saw your post on LinkedIn. I commented on this morning as well. I think we all agree with this operating model gap, which we've all seen, right? You know, many companies believe that they understand their customer well. You and I have been in this space for decades. You know, they're pointed that a real challenge in this operating model behind the experience, which you're so elegant at talking about. Can you explain what the difference between making what I know a lot of our competitors talk about is the surface level CX fixes versus what you are an expert at, which is creating this true foundational shift?
You know, over 30 years of experience in operations, the one thing that resonates across all of it is, you know, organizations think they have a customer experience problem and everybody chases that and fucks that, when really they have an operating model problem. And what I mean by that, you know, a lot of companies, they try to fix customer experience by fixing the symptoms. And when I talk about, you know, I'm all about, you know, you've heard me say this many times, are we chasing a symptom or are we fixing a root problem? And, you know, you see it so many times, and I see heads nod when I go and speak in front of companies and conferences. You know, companies, they tweak the better scripts. They start looking at, you know, they try to fix customer experience they chase the symptoms and they, you know, let's get a better script out there for the people to, you know, read something differently. Or, you know, let's layer something with new technology. Let's go buy something off the shelf and get technology. Or, you know what, we need to be in new channels. You know, we're going down there. Oh, but, and then you've heard that we need to train people more. You know, training is important. All those are important. But what they do is those sit on top of systems, not inside it. And so the operating model is really the engine of experience. And really, when I talk about operating model, it is about decision rights. It is about process design. It's about technology architecture, how data flows within your organization. And most of all, it really is about accountability structures. It really is about, you know, if those elements are not aligned, no amount of surface CX will fix the underlying experience.
It's so true. What you just described, like you probably know this about me because we've been together for a long time. I started my career as an agent. Okay. I had green screens, Lance. I don't know if anybody listening to this. I know you know what they are, but I'm not sure our listeners will know what they are.
Like, yep.
What you just described, I see it from the BPO side everywhere, right? Clients come with this CX problem, and the first thing they do is they point to that agent. The agent, 90% of the time, isn't the problem. And that's exactly what you just said. It's the broken process, right? You know, the surface insights to it. You know, and I'm not saying you shouldn't change the script, like you said. All that does is buy you a little bit more time. That's really all it does. What they don't buy, what you're explaining, is the outcome or the result of long-lasting fixing the problem. So, outstanding.
People know, you know, in this biz, people know, but they're not talking about it. Because at the end of the day, customers don't experience your strategy. And everybody talks about, we got to get strategy. They experience the operating model. You know, right. What's decided in the corporate office, in the corner office, that's what they experience. To companies that truly transform customer experience, they don't start with surveys.
No.
You know, or scripts. They really start with, how does the organization flow? How does it actually work? At the end of the day, what do we want to solve for our customers?
Oh, so true. Truth statement, Dan. We'll hashtag that one out. So talking about the strategy, which is so funny. I love people that come to me with all these plans, right? It's strategy. You know, why does strategy fail execution? Like you just said, leaders are spending this time on this vision, right? This shiny new object. Sometimes vision doesn't translate into reality because it's on paper, right? In your experience, because you're a master at this as well.
You're kind.
Well-designed strategies struggle so much when the underlying processes aren't aligned with that strategy.
You know, Jim, it really is. I've never seen CX strategy fail because of vision. It fails because the organization wasn't designed to execute it. And let that sit. And for those that are listening, it really is. I mean, leadership teams often create excellent CX strategies, but they have to ask the question, does the operating model allow those ideas to actually happen? You know, common really misalignments, let's take incentives. Teams are measured on efficiency instead of resolution. You have technology that systems don't share data. You have processes that are designed around internal protection and not the customer outcomes. That's the biggie. What comes out of the corporate office, what comes out of the policies is really more about protection versus solving the customer and having customer outcomes. And then you deal with ownership. No one truly is accountable for the end-to-end journey. You know, when these misalignments exist, strategy becomes really aspirational and instead of, you know, operational reality.
So true. And like the one thing I would add from my perspective, I believe, and I don't know if you agree or not, but a lot of times these strategies fail execution when people closest to the work didn't have a hand in building it. I learned this when I built our processes, which we've talked about, right? The frontline supervisors, they're either going to carry it forward or they're going to quietly work around it. Right? Because they weren't in the room to be part of it. They have no reason to protect it if they weren't part of the solution, I would say.
You know, I've said, and you've heard me say this, I say this on stage, I say it in my book, you know, show me your org chart and I'll tell you how serious you are about customer experience. You know, I've seen organizations where the CX vision says easy for the customer, but the internal processes really require multiple approvals. They require, they have rigid scripts.
Yep.
They have disconnected systems. You know, strategy defines intent, but the operating model really defines whether the intent ever reaches the customer.
Oh, so true. So, you know, bringing that into this, you know, everybody's talking these, and I think you and I have heard this for, you know, and we've been together at these events. The old days, words, now everything's AI, right? So that's the whole new freaking world of everything's AI, AI, AI. So, and I think both of us are people, right? So we believe culture is number one and the people around it. So building this trust in an AI-driven world, like trust is just as important as a customer relationship, right? And organizations, you know, when you think about it, when they introduced more AI into those ops, how do they design these operating models that improves what we talk about, which might be an efficiency is just a simple one, but also maintaining genuine human connection in that world.
We all, I mean, AI is here. AI has been here and people don't realize. I've been on stage recently talking to a company and people. And when I say AI has been around, I've been personally been using AI probably 12 years, 14 years already. I know, Jim, you've been using AI for years. And what we do know is AI will transform customer operations, but it really is about trust that will determine whether company or customers accept that transformation. You know, AI does improve dramatically.
Yep.
It improves the experience dramatically when it's used for faster answers, predictive support, reduced friction, you know, but I've seen a lot of companies that are often implement AI just through a cost lens and not through a trust lens. You know, customers will lose confidence in AI when it feels like it's like a barrier or a deflection tool or, you know, a system that's designed to avoid helping them. And that's when it gets to what I said earlier about the protection mechanism. You know, the operating model really needs to define where AI creates value and where humans must remain present.
It's so agreeable. I read an article, I think it was last month or something. It was funny. You know, AI has been around for decades, by the way. I don't think people understand this. I think the one article I read was about the post office. When you think about when they started sorting mail way back in the day, that was actually AI reading the zip codes and sorting the mail out. Just to recap on what we talked about, like the building trust, the way I frame it for our clients is pretty simple. AI can handle transactional things, give you information like we all talk about, but humans is where you're going to get that relationship and the relational expertise that you need. So when you do design a model around that principle, trust is not something you could build or engineer. It becomes actual natural output with AI plus HI.
Right.
Great, great topic.
You know, Jim, it's funny. I'll say this and people don't realize AI's been around since 1946. That's when the first, and there was the Dartmouth, there's a Dartmouth study or Dartmouth organization that was 1946, 1948 that actually finally defined what AI was and what they were using to really start looking at data, to look at patterns. It started as early as 1946. But, you know, I mean, the best AI really is about, it just removes friction.
Yeah.
And it empowers employees and, you know, accelerates resolutions. You know, but as you said, humans have to be in the loop and humans will help build that trust because humans will handle the more complex situations. They'll deal with the emotional conversations that we all deal with, you know, and for those critical moments where trust is necessary.
Well, you're right. And I always talk about, people talk about effortless experience, improvement CX. And I said this in one of my books, you know, effortless experience. How hard is it for me to do business with you? That's really right. How I look at effortless.
Right.
It's really what it's about. How hard is it? There's too, in this global marketplace, too many options for me anymore, right? I mean, we talk about that all the time. So let's get in and talk to the next topic we want to talk about is this connection between, you know, employee experience and customer experience. Because I think that's another one that you and I are both passionate about is our employees. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear this customer experience cannot exceed employee experience. You know, from your perspective, you know, how do these internal challenges, the broken processes, I know you're a very, very emotional or a master at it like me, they show in the way of, they get in the way of the customer experience. What's your thoughts on that sometimes?
You know, here's the bottom line, Jim. Customers feel the consequences of internal dysfunction. They feel it almost immediately. You know, employees operate within the constraints of the system around them. Your frontline employees, every employee, you've got the scripts, you've got the barriers, you've got the guardrails. When those systems are broken, the customer feels it. They feel it through slow responses. They feel it through, you know, repeated explanations. They feel it through inconsistent answers, lack of ownership. And, you know, I always say employees don't create these broken promises and broken experiences. Broken systems force employees to develop, to deliver them. So you know, broken systems force employees to deliver them.
You're right.
When employees struggle with disconnected systems, unclear authority, and conflicting metrics, they cannot deliver great experiences. You can't yell at them. You can't front lines, whatever. It really is, you know, after all these years, it really is what's behind those processes. Those are the systems. Those are the systems that gets funded. Those are the systems that think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, those are creating those moments where you've got that, the differences between the employee experience and the customer experience.
So if I heard you said, this can't be true. You mean BPOs have dysfunction? That's not true. I've never heard we have dysfunction.
Every company has to look at, be serious and be truthful about their processes, whether they are BPO, whether they are a company and company, like companies that I used to work for. At the end of the day, you have to be very real and you have to be very vulnerable to look at what is my customer experiencing. I started in the hospitality industry and way before a lot of automation, and how we differentiated ourselves was really experiencing what our guests experience. And I call it walking the property. And the same thing here, walking the property, walking your processes, walking it from end to end. How does your customer experience it? You're not going to get that from a dashboard. You're not going to get that from listening to a call. It really is about walking that experience all the way through.
Yeah. And I can relate to that. So again, starting my career as an agent, working my way up to managing, you know, global sites, I've been walking the contact center floor. I know you do as well for 20-some plus years.
Yeah.
You can tell within the first 20 minutes if that employee experience is healthy or broken. And I think what a lot of people miss, whatever you observe in the floor, it's going to show up in that customer experience or data within the next 3 to 6 months. We all know it. Every single time it happens, we see it, we know it, and it's coming through.
Every time, Jim, every time, and I say every time we fix the internal environment, customer experience improves naturally.
100%. So last question before we wrap this up is one that's near and dear. This, you know, I call it practical, right? Because I'm a practical a practitioner, we'll call it, you know, a step for leaders, right? So for some of the leaders out there that they feel, and I've seen this when I ran ops for ETAC, they're constantly dealing with urgent issues in the organization. Everything's urgent. What is one question, you know, that you would suggest they can ask a team to better understand whether their operating model, which you're so good at, is truly supporting that great customer experience?
You know, things are getting tougher in servicing customers. Customers, as you know, have changed. We're dealing with so much more. Not only are we dealing with the complexity of calls, the complexity of solving customers' problems, technology. Now we're working and trying to help our employees, you know, the employee experience. So a lot of leaders feel, and you see that they're overwhelmed because, you know, CX problems are appearing everywhere. And, you know, I tell them they have to identify, you know, whether those problems are coming from people, whether they're coming from process,
yep,
or whether they're coming from operating design. So the question I say that leaders need to ask is, where does our operating model make it harder than it should for us to do the right thing for our customer? And you know what that question does? It reveals broken processes. It looks at policy barriers. It'll identify system limitations, yep, and accountability gaps. You know, frontline, we talked about this. Frontline people already know these answers immediately. You know, they see where customers get stuck. They see employees where they need the workarounds. We talked about their working around the process. And they see where policy conflicts, you know, with common sense. You know, the fastest CX improvements really come from removing internal friction, not by adding new initiatives.
It's so true. And I forgot you were in the hospitality space. I'll give you one. I remember a long time ago. I had a big company as one of my clients. And I remember all these calls coming in for stupid things. Transparent. Like, this is ridiculous. This was before a lot of the automation, a lot of the AI, yep, stuff. And I remember looking at, because I'm a data guy, as you know, and I've always looked at data. So I'm getting all these phone calls. I get these guys on the phone and I said, hey, listen, you're getting a lot of calls for this issue. And I said, these don't even make sense. This was before we had voice AI bots and all that stuff we can replace now. And I got the guy on the phone, and it was his IT guy. And he said to me, and I remember this, he's like, that's on the website. They shouldn't be calling. Okay. Can you open up? Because I already knew the answer, right? So I was like, can you open up your browser and tell me how to get to it? It took 13 clicks to get to this. I said, the average consumer has the attention span of a goldfish, which is about 7 seconds. Long story short, the ops people were actually pushing the IT guys. They fixed this. They actually moved it to the top of their website because it's obviously one of the most frequently things coming in. The call volume by 30%. It's crazy how some of these technical, when you talk about it, your people, your process, or the functionality part of it, right? You know, when I talk to customers, a lot of things I use, you know, walk me through something if a customer has a problem, start to finish. Customer has a problem, tell me the whole entire journey. If they cannot answer that cleanly,
mm-hmm,
the operating model that was built is not there to serve the customer. If that makes sense.
Yep. Hey, I'm with you 100%, Jim. 100%.
And so last but not least, Lance, you know, you've coached me, mentored me through my career, and I'm grateful for that because I've learned, you know, from people like you who, and you know, I like to pay it forward as well. I learn from people. I believe in having multiple mentors, as you know, you're one of many. I believe in that wholeheartedly. So to our listeners, Lance, like if there's somebody listening out there, you know, right now they want to be honest with themselves. What's one thing, one piece of mentoring you can give them that is maybe quietly costing them that customer experience? If you can give them one big takeaway for the day, what would it be from Lance? Because I know you've helped me for years in my career. And again, I'm grateful for it, but I want to help somebody else today, paying it forward.
Well, I appreciate, first, thank you for the really kind comments. I have such respect for you, Jim, over the years and our friendship. You know, I'm a person, I love journeys. You have to understand the journey. I like to know how a customer or a guest is going to journey through there. But after years and years of being in this business, what I've learned is if you want world-class customer experience, don't start with the customer journey map. Start with the operating model behind it. That will blow everybody's mind. Start with the operating model behind it. Because at the end of the day, the experience your customers receive is simply the output of how your organization is designed to work.
So true, my brother. Thank you so much for that piece of advice. And I'm sure our listeners are going to take to that. We will drop in your LinkedIn on the bottom of this podcast. People want to connect with you. Don't try to sell Lance and I with you junior salespeople who send us a connection request and then 2 seconds later try to sell us some AI. So build the relationship first and then let's talk. But Lance, thank you so much. It's been an honor, my friend. I can't wait to see you in the next couple of months. But thank you. God bless you. And thanks again for joining us today. Thanks everyone.
Jim.